Stream is up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we're live, coming to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in Northeast Ohio. I'm Josh McClay, a.k.a. O'Malley of O'Malley's Adventure. That's Brian Weller of Two Tigers Tactical. And this is the Patient Patriot Podcast. I want to thank everybody for joining. Whether you're watching live or in post, the number to contact the show is 234-650-4920. Or you can email us at patientpatriot@yahoo.com. And we are so close to entering the People's Republic of America. I thought I would, I'm going to start the show with this.
Once just, again, going to wear your Soviet style.
I'm on. Yeah. See, eventually.
And
all
see,
of,
you can see the hat I wore.
Right. And all of that. And all of that's going to just shift.
Yeah.
Anywho.
And I still don't have a beard shield to keep my magnificent beard out of this microphone, so I'm going to have to go like this.
The idea is to get you to cut that Corona catcher off.
No. My wife's been working on me, but it's not happening. So, you know, it's gotten long enough at this point. This is the first time the longest I've ever grown it. I'm now tucking it inside my shirt if I want to eat soup or something to keep food out of it. So I just kind of tuck it down in.
Now, here's something to consider. You're talking about tucking your beard into your shirt.
Yes.
So you can eat. Okay? Yes. Eating is an essential part of life.
And so is beard.
You can cut that damn thing off.
No.
You know what? That would make a sweet podcast. We need to bet on something. And if you lose, you cut it off in front of all the viewers.
Yeah, but how many months is it going to take for Kamala to take over Biden's presidency?
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm not cutting his beard. I don't care. So...
Anywho, so we've got, I don't know, a few things we can discuss.
Yeah, man.
Apparently.
Well, we've been making predictions, excuse me.
Okay.
Over the last couple episodes. And so the ones that have already panned out one way or the other, we need to revisit those to see how accurate we were in our predictions from the last episode. So we were talking about college football and pro football last time.
Yep.
And we discussed how Ohio State was likely to lose.
And they did.
And they did. Not terribly. I mean, they put up a little bit of a fight.
A little bit. But
a little bit.
Here's my thoughts on Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I get a lot of hate for this, but I don't care.
Sure.
I'll take it on the chin. They played two hard games. One against Clemson, one against Alabama, and they got beat up. By the end of those two games, they had starters that were either banged up or completely not playing. Right? You have teams like Texas A&M
mm-hmm.
that were 8-0 in the SEC with only one loss, and they didn't make the playoffs. And they played a full schedule.
What's that song by Justin Timberlake? Cry me a river. Cry me a river.
Well, all I'm saying is...
Are you an SEC apologist?
No, but
come
what,
on,
but
dude.
What, but
I forgot
what I
who
saying.
I was talking to. Let's move on to the Browns.
But hold on. No, what I'm saying is...
We'll flip a table.
If we're going to change the rules for one team... Right, that didn't apply across
Cry
the board.
Me a river.
Maybe A&M should approach the NCAA and say, look, we need to change the rules we can come back and play.
I don't care how much
for true second.
I don't care how much you cry and how many tears are shed. The reality is, a playoff system will always be controversial when you have polls helping to decide who's going to be in. And
yeah, but
who's
see
not.
That didn't. And, they changed the rules to get a team in.
And when you're going to limit a playoff system and challenge teams with interruptions of COVID lockdowns and shortened seasons. And
but let me ask you this: I get all that. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was?
There's always going to be controversy.
Well, do you think it's right to change the rules at the end of a season?
Well, why not
to include one person?
Absolutely.
You believe that?
I'm from Maslin. We changed the rules so we could keep a tiger in a stadium.
Okay.
So at any rate, Ohio State lost, and
the Browns won. And the thing is,
yeah,
the Browns.
Well, they won. Yeah, we didn't bet on this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were wrong clearly on the Browns in Pittsburgh.
Right. And that was,
Shocking.
What's interesting is we finished up the podcast.
Yes.
I went down, and I was standing in front of the TV. First snap goes over his head, the Browns score. And I'm like, oh, wow, man, they're going to have some momentum. So I come up here to try and put this stuff away.
Yes.
Right? I hear her going nuts down there.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns scored again. I went down and looked at the TV. It's 14-0. I'm like, man, yeah. I better hustle. I come back up. Next thing you know, it's 21-0. I'm like, screw it. I'll leave it till tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty exciting if you're a Browns fan.
Yeah.
So, and some of our predictions are still hanging. You know, we had predictions about already about how long we thought Biden would last in office before they kind of shuffle him off, either due to health issues or legal impeachment issues. Who knows, you know, with that. So we still have to wait to see that play out. My initial thoughts on that were 6 to 9 months, and I'm still standing by that. I think before 9 months is up, he will be out of office and she'll be riding in the captain's chair.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say we made some predictions about coming violence. I'm sticking with that. I'm not altering that at all. I think we are going to see organic and false flag, state-sponsored craziness out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's changing at all. And I think we're going to see difficult times ahead, continued censorship, economic woes as this dollar continues to inflate. And you see it reflected in commodity prices here recently. Inflation is coming. And our GDP is not big enough to even cover the interest on our national debt at this point. You don't hear anybody talking about a balanced budget anymore. They just continue to crank
that arm, baby.
The printing press and act like there's no consequence to a $30 trillion national debt. And at some point, that's going to Americans' chickens, in the immortal words of famous Reverend Wright, are going to come home to roost. And so you can't throw trillions of dollars of fake paper into the system without it kind of gumming up the works at some point.
Well, you know, somebody asked me, they were like, well, what do you think the next possible bubble is? You know, we had the housing bubble and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next big bubble is the dollar.
Well, I think it, you know, it depends on how it's all managed, because I think you and I have talked about that kind of stuff before. And just when I think the American economy can't possibly last any longer in its current state, they find ways to inflate a little bit more and pump. So, you know, there was a spell where people thought it was going to be the student debt bubble that was going to pop, and that still might be coming unless Bernie gives student loan forgiveness with their new economic team that's coming into power, that's, you know, a stew in every pot and a college degree in every household wall.
Right. If you thought the New Deal was a raw deal, he's saying, hold my beer, I got it.
Yeah, everything's going to be free, Josh. How can you argue with that, man? It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that utopian society.
Yes.
It'll be.
Worked so well for Venezuela, didn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, but speaking of which, that's sort of, I don't want to say breaking news, but that's a move that's heading that direction, I believe. AOC and I believe her last name's Tlaib.
Uh-huh.
Those two are moving into the finance area.
Oh, sure. Why not?
And apparently Bernie's going to head that that committee.
That's awesome.
And I, you know,
so
when you look at it in that context, and when you look at Biden's overall view of things, I mean, you're going to see that hard push left fiscally.
Economic, yeah. Yeah, it's and speaking of, you know, here, we haven't even really officially talked about the 6th, and I know it's passe at this point. It's old news for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue maybe it's still pertinent, though. Wouldn't you agree, when you have 25,000 troops in Washington, D.C., a little throwback to Hamilton there.
Yeah.
25,000 troops, you know, the party that love to hate on police and military suddenly seem infatuated. So let's talk about maybe the irony that's thick enough that you can choke on, or the hypocrisy maybe that is so over the top that it's astonishing to even cynical people like me. So the party that hates police is now infatuated with them and their well-being, especially Capitol Police. Mm-hmm. The party of no borders, no walls, no USA at all was the chant. And many of these, many of these marches concerning border control and a strong, secure nation, all of a sudden now have a passionate zeal for 20-foot fences with razor wire. And the party that for the last several months has loved free speech and protest and your right to assemble now thinks it's seditious and traitorous and insurrectionist to stand up and shake your fist at government. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, what is your breakdown? What are your thoughts now that we have maybe, 2 weeks of perspective? Coming up on 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the face of the inauguration here in a few days, a little bit of perspective on the events of the 6th. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
I think there was enough there that you will see sort of a snowball effect of authoritarianism. It'll be some smaller things at first, as far as like, you know, we'll just use security at the inauguration as an example. You will see more military, not just Secret Service, surrounding our elected officials, and that'll be normal. That will become the new norm. People have already got lost in the weeds about why the people were there to begin with.
Okay.
And that, to me, that's the bigger problem. Like, you can get tied up in media and clickbait and this person and the guy wearing the horns with the painted face and all the whiz bangs that go with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you had people protesting a very shady election deal. You had people very unhappy with their elected officials to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Exercising a right. Sure. Now, where things go sideways is, you know, tearing up the Capitol building. And I don't even know if I want to go into that section of the weeds, because at the end of the day, that's the stuff that they're going to use to strip people of their rights.
Yeah. And so I think it's, you're right, you could get down into the minutiae, but I think it's important, but you could get lost in these arguments of, well, was it all crazy Trump or, you know, Trump people? Were there a few agent provocateurs in there? Was it Antifa kind of parading as Trump people, instigating and stirring up? And it might have been all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. The larger picture is you had 300,000 people at major rallies, let's call them, near the Capitol, which is protected speech.
Yep.
And probably 99% of those people, I mean, 300,000 is a lot of people.
Sure.
And only maybe a couple thousand actually crossed the initial barriers onto the Capitol grounds, the Capitol proper, and then only a few hundred, I believe, got into the Capitol building. So largely peaceful. But I agree that you have to step back and go, look, man, if 300,000 people were willing to leave work, and we have friends that did that peacefully and drive 5.5, 6.5, 10 hours to D.C., a place where you're going to have to automatically give up some of your rights just to go protest, because you can't go there armed, not legally. And so you're already yielding your Second Amendment rights just to go and exercise your First Amendment rights in the district. What is driving people to take that kind of Herculean effort to spend money, hotels, stand out in the cold, risk possible violence and backlash concerning loss of job and that kind of stuff, like some people have? What are the greater issues that are driving people to do these kinds of things. And that's, I think that's where the question is.
Sure. Because I mean, if you strip all of your own beliefs from it,
sure,
and you look at the past 2 or 3 years, whether it's people burning cities,
sure,
or people tearing up the Capitol,
yeah, man,
there are a huge number of unhappy people in this country.
Yeah. On all sides.
Right. And it's not, you know, sometimes different media outlets want to paint it as, well, it's a right issue or it's a left issue. No, we got a big problem here.
Yeah, which I think, and so then it doesn't make us super genius. You know, Wile E. Coyote, super genius. You don't have to be a super genius to figure out then that with all of this frustration and division, I mean, hell, you and I have talked about it ad nauseum, the coming civil war, the fact that we were in a cold civil war, we are a nation divided, and pretty passionately divided, and that you and I believe we are living in historic times. So the Capitol, you know, I joked with some of my coworkers and friends that when I'm an old man on my deathbed and hopefully surrounded by loved ones, my one great regret in life will be that I did not get a selfie on the Capitol floor in a Viking hat. That's how absurd things have gotten at this right. point. And I have friends that rightly so would say it's pretty shameful that people would go into the Capitol and do some property damage. I agree. Mm-hmm. It's not great. Is it a hardcore seditious insurrection? I think certain media outlets have overblown that. Mm-hmm. To do what you said, which is to pass maybe a Patriot Act 2.0, whatever the name will be.
Sure.
But another layer of law that will severely restrict freedom of speech, mm-hmm. The right to bear arms and own arms, and the right to assemble. And so you're going to see a whole nother push to kind of strip away freedom from citizens in the face of chaos.
Well, I'm going to say this sarcastically, but I also think it's going to happen. We will develop another governmental department to handle this. Whether it's looking into okay. who supported who and how gotcha. And how they should be handled with their social media. And,
yeah, so we're going to have a new Politburo is what you're saying, that just like the communists set up to go after political enemies and seditious traitors and insurrectionists and white nationalists. And because clearly the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the 50 some different intelligence agencies, and then you throw in who takes care of airport security?
TSA.
The TSA. And then on top of the intelligence, the non-governmental intelligence groups, like the Southern Poverty Law Center and stuff like that, where, you know, we don't have enough agency out there to tell us what's wrong with this country. We're going to need a whole nother layer
right.
of government organization to tell us what we're doing wrong.
Joe calls it the thought police.
Yeah, they're coming. No, yeah, that's a great point, Joe. And thanks for joining. For the handful of you that faithfully tune in and listen to us ramble on, man, we appreciate you coming on and engaging too, because you know your comments and your phone calls, your thoughts as you share them in post as we're live have value. And I think we're in for a continued crazy ride. You know, we've said that repeatedly, and you know, I took a few screenshots and just some of the stuff that we can talk about, and one of them being you know, this sign that the communist apocalypse is on us. In Minnesota, new education standards are being pushed that will eliminate lessons about World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, and the Civil War, and will replace them with lessons on America's history of systemic racism and the disenfranchisement of the LGBTQ community. So we're going to eliminate history and talk about radical race theory or identity politics.
Well,
what could possibly go wrong,
here's
Josh?
The thing. I'm not for the taking out of the world wars and whatnot. But as long as that systemic racism includes the Southern Democrats and the Jim Crow laws of the South.
Oh, come on.
Now. I think as long as that's inclusive, let's teach it. But teach all of it.
Yeah, well, you know it won't be that way. I can remember reading one of my sister's social studies books when she was in high school a number of years back. And I remember when they talked about the 1950s, which in many ways was the zenith of our culture, manufacturing-wise, the stability of the home, cultural credit, where we had a common core of beliefs for the most part, and cultural cohesion. I would argue that the 1950s, in many ways, while not perfect, was kind of our pinnacle, economically, world power-wise, in many different ways. And they looked back in the social studies textbook in Maslin and called the 1950s a cult of domesticity. And their primary focus in the lesson was how oppressed women were, not how great many of the things in America were, but how, you know, let's dial in on the myopic and talk about how terrible this country is because of the plight of a few. And it's that level of identity politics. Now, look, don't get me wrong. You know, there's a lot of things our country has messed up.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of things that we're still working through.
And that's kind of my point. If you're going to teach history, teach all of it.
Yes.
Don't jump on this. We're only going to teach this and we're going to pretend like this didn't happen.
Sure, you know, sure.
That's nonsense. It's called history, not liked history and disliked history.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you have to take it all. That's the way that
and
works.
And when we get to the point where we're tearing down statues of abolitionists because it's just a statue and we don't know any better, it makes you wonder what good can come out of this culture.
Absolutely.
When we are so dumbed down that we're in such a deconstructionist mode that we're going to deconstruct Western civ, that we are going to erase or eradicate our history instead of learn from it and grow through it. You know, it's actually very concerning.
So, with that being said, we do have to look at some of our institutions as far as schools go, because of the way that they're being handled now with COVID. It would be very easy to, I don't want to say manipulate, but to change curriculum on the fly, because in a sense, there's no books.
Sure.
I mean, now you're at the bay of whatever you can get digitally.
Yes.
And not to go take the opposite side and go conspiracy theory on you, but now you're at the helm of big tech and what they think the information could be, unless somebody has complete hard copies of it.
Yeah, you're right. The ability to swap or alter curriculum on the fly,
mm-hmm.
Has expanded dramatically over the last, I'd say, even 10 years, not just recently. And so, you know, parents' ability or a community's ability to know what is being taught is becoming harder and harder because this stuff is moving quicker and quicker. It's almost like, you know, your senators on Capitol Hill, which probably the average age is, what, 58, 60, mm-hmm. somewhere in there, trying to figure out how Jack Dorsey is manipulating Twitter. They're mm-hmm. clueless, dude.
Right.
You know, at the ripe old age of 47, soon to be 48 next month, there are times where I have to rely on my young adult daughter to help me navigate some of the tech and the apps and where the stuff is heading. And so, you know, to be able to keep track of curriculum that is able to rapidly evolve without you being aware is going to be harder and harder.
Right.
Which, you know, and this is something I've shared with my kids repeatedly, is that the greatest, I still believe this, the greatest challenge they're going to face in their lives is going to be discerning what is true and what is real. Mm-hmm. Because there is so much media saturation and so many different voices out there. And the technology is moving so quick with deepfake video, deepfake audio, that it's going to be really, really challenging. And that lie will get, you know, all the way around the world before the truth is even out of the gates, as the cliche goes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be hard to reel in reality or to figure out what is actually happening in the midst of real time.
Yeah. So,
speaking of reality, right. We haven't talked about COVID. And the only reason I talk about it, mention it, is to say that a new study came out of a California university peer-reviewed study that says lockdowns are basically worthless.
Right. Well, there's some countries, one of them, not Switzerland, Sweden. Mm-hmm. They forewent any type of lockdown. They just like, go out there and have at it.
Sure.
And
their rates weren't much different than anybody else.
Yep. No. And, you know, I think, especially, take the new vaccine that's out, right? Mm-hmm. Why in the heck would you bother giving it to, say, somebody like myself or my kids, young, relatively healthy, if we know that the problem is with people in the nursing homes, right, and the sick people, whatnot, wouldn't you give it to them?
Now, come on, Josh, you're dipping into vaccine conspiracy theory, and I don't...
No, that's not vaccine conspiracy theory. I mean, we have developed vaccines that work.
Here's the thing. If you're not wholeheartedly on board and willing to take 5 or 6 variants of the new COVID shot, then clearly you are a vaccine resistant,
no,
anti-American. Mm-mm. And
I am
should be forced out of your job and thrown out on the streets.
I am 100% pro-choice when it comes to my health care. My body, my choice.
No.
Absolutely.
No, you're not allowed.
Yes, sir. So
Here's the thing, man. You know, we've talked a lot about vaccines in different iterations throughout this podcast history. Mm-hmm. And I've repeatedly said, because you have to throw this caveat out there, I am not an anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. There are vaccines that work, yep, that are fairly effective and mostly safe. Mm-hmm. I would argue that the flu vaccine is not one of them. Right. You could argue fairly safe on the front end, maybe not entirely effective. But here's the thing, when it comes to this COVID vaccine, for one, it is mRNA, and this is the first time we are broadly releasing it in vaccine form, that kind of technology, DNA technology. I would argue that because of that, I am mildly skeptical, mm-hmm, moderately skeptical, because it was rushed to market,
yep,
because it wasn't tested well enough on a large enough sample group. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it was a news story today, Finland had 12 deaths related to the Pfizer vaccine, and that another European country had multiple, Bell's palsy kind of your face, kind of failing to work anymore incidents. Regardless, even if it is really good and effective at knocking back a severe cold bug like COVID-19, I'm going to argue that it's not proven enough for me to be signing up and taking it. And I know a lot of people, frontline, first responder kind of people that are in the same kind of frame of mind. Hey, look, you go ahead and take it and we'll wait another year and see what happens, right, to you. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how that all washes out, because you still have a push from the medical establishment that, we're going to see passports, digital vaccine passports to fly or to keep your job or to travel outside of your state. It'll be interesting to see how all this is going to work together when it comes to vaccine proof. Go ahead.
Let's see what we got here.
Yeah, we have a lot of people commenting. Thank you. I was trying to get my, I'm going to bring my phone up here so that way we can, I can follow along without having to,
I was gonna say,
stare
I,
over there.
It's on my other computer, but there was an article from Cleveland about how it worked out percentage-wise. Was like 45% of healthcare worker and first responders that are saying no, they don't want the vaccine.
Yeah, I saw it was another one. I forget where it was, but it was a fire department where basically 40% are saying no thanks.
Right.
And so I think that I don't think it's. I'm basically talking out of my ass here because I don't know, to be honest. But I'm guessing that you have to have somewhere around 65 to 70% participation in your frontline, first responder, medical kind of communities, in order for the general population to say this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have that kind of buy-in at the hospital level, your local nurses, your local, right, police department, in this general citizenry, you're not going to see people getting on board. Now, on the other hand, I've had people that you and I know that have basically said, look, I don't care if this vaccine gives me a third boob, mm-hmm, or an extra finger on my toe, or her foot,
right,
I'm still going to take it because that's how concerned they are about COVID-19. So You have people all over the board on this, which is kind of fascinating to me.
I tell people this, you know, think for yourself. If you're healthy, let's say you're healthy, non-smoker, fairly active, eat pretty good, and you don't get sick that often, save it for somebody else. Because there are people out there that would probably benefit from that vaccine, if it's effective.
Sure, I would agree with you that, and this is kind of where talk show hosts like Michael Savage have been from the Giddy Up, which is that you quarantine the sick, you exercise caution as the healthy. You know, dude, I've been washing my hands so damn much, my knuckles are raw.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having to, you know, between the Purell and the soap, man, my hands feel like I've punched sides of beef in a Rocky film. And so, you know, do we need to be careful? Yeah. You know, I have friends and coworkers who have lost loved ones to COVID, and it is very sad and tragic. So you can't be entirely dismissive. This was not some vast left-wing conspiracy to hurt Trump. I mean, that kind of logic is silly. It is a real virus, and I do think we have to exercise caution, be healthy, eat clean. You're doing better at that than I am right now on your carnivore diet.
Well, I think it exposes how unhealthy Americans are.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think moving forward it's also going to prove, just like financial uncertainty proves how financially insecure our nation is, medical uncertainty or viral spread proves how physically unhealthy our culture is. And I'm glad I'm working out of that now. Mm-hmm. Last 2 months, I'm dropping weight, woohoo, and hitting the gym. But I tell you what, man, it's not a good time to be financially strapped or physically unhealthy. And I think that's going to be magnified throughout the remainder of this year and the coming years. You know, a friend of mine recently asked Josh, what do I see? You know, and I'm not the world's best prognosticator. I don't claim to be Nostradamus, but I do think I have a pretty good discernment on which way the winds are blowing. Where does this go over the next 2, 4, 6, 10 years? And here is what I shared with him over this past few days, is that I think in the next 2 to 4 years, we're going to look, as far as the stripping away of our rights, we're going to look more like Canada, the UK, and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see, you know, I can appreciate Joe's opinion that COVID's going to magically go away once Biden is inaugurated here in a few days. Now, I think that in some ways you're right. I don't disagree with that. They're going to downplay and act like he's ushered in an era of new health and prosperity. But the fact is, this will not be the last virus that is used to manipulate the American people.
No.
So you're going to have COVID 2021 or whatever it is, you know, weaponized, you know, rabies or who knows, you know, smallpox or the Ebola scare again or whatever it's going to be. This will not be the last viral pandemic that is used to kind of steer our culture and our finances. And so, you know, I think that that's going to continue to be there, even if COVID itself, COVID-19, is minimized. And so I think we're in for an exciting and interesting ride.
Well, they're already starting to talk about the these like sub-strains of COVID-19. Yes.
Well, yeah, and you don't even need, once it's, and I think many people, maybe not most in our culture, but many people, and certainly a handful that would watch us here, are confident that this came out of a bioweapons lab in China. Now, I think there's still some room for debate on whether it was released accidentally or intentionally. I don't think this was a natural event, the virus itself. I think it was manipulated. But regardless of the source, once it comes out, you know, like the famous movie quote, you don't need people messing with it, because it's going to do just a great job on its own, morphing in immigrant populations, homeless populations, densely populated urban areas like New York, Los Angeles, Detroit, Cleveland, wherever it is, the hot spots. Mm-hmm. And it's going to kind of evolve, which viruses are fantastic at doing. And so, you know, you're going to see this kind of continued viral threat, excuse me, and the government creating unreasonable solutions to deal with it.
Well, you know, we were talking about places like New York. They all have mass transit, right? They live mm-hmm. stacked on top of each other. They take sure. cabs. Most of them don't own vehicles because, I mean, where are you going to put it, right?
Correct.
So when you have places like that, of course it's going to run rampant.
Sure, sure.
I mean, you
got people on top of people. And it's, which is why, you know, look, Republicans, and it's funny because a lot of people that tune into this show get surprised because we're not a Trump cheerleader team.
No.
We're not. No. You certainly aren't. And I'm pretty measured at times. And so, look, you know, the reality is, I think, and we've shared this in the last couple episodes, you're kind of a curious libertarian,
mm-hmm.
and I'm maybe a smidge right of center libertarian,
mm-hmm.
with mild conspiracy, mild conspiracy streaks running through my veins, but we're not hardcore
mm-mm.
Republicans, and so I have to laugh when Republican friends and family talk about. I'm losing my train of thought. What were we just discussing?
COVID-19 and people being stacked on top of each
other.
Yeah,
stacked on top. So, you know, the reality is, here was one of my main criticisms. You know, people wanted to point to the female governor out there in, what was it, South Dakota?
Yeah.
Who didn't have any lockdowns, and her viral rates were in the basement, and they're doing great. And, well, you know, look, man, you go out to the Dakotas, there ain't nobody out there.
Right.
You got a few people digging oil wells, and it's some of the least densely populated acreage in America.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say that her policies alone magically did that. Give me a break.
Right.
You know, look, as conservatives, you can't, and here's what pisses me off about our own party, is that you can't throw logic out the window for the sake of making your argument.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. You have to be intelligent about this. Now, do I think that lockdowns were effective? No. Do I want to see the rules lifted and our economy kind of kickstarted? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't talk about the Dakotas as this bellwether for what should happen when their population density is not anywhere close to the rest of the country.
Right.
That's not even logical.
No. Well, the density, the transit to and from, I mean, you're not even on the same playing field, you know. It's apples and oranges, basically.
Somebody's trying to sidetrack me on conspiracy theory.
I was going
to
say, someone...
By saying that Bigfoot is not real and you can shove it.
Well, no, this cat said, Jay's saying that...
Oh, Bigfoot is real. Okay, in that case, you're dead on. I got these old man eyes. I can't see the comments there. I'm ready to fight with people that aren't even fighting. This morning.
A little combative today.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Crazy. I saw, I shared this with you because Josh and I attend the same service on Sunday mornings. And within that church service, there was a segment that had some owl sounds, like the bird, an O-W-L, owl. And one of the owls, I can't remember if it was a barred owl or what, sounded almost like Sasquatch calls out in
sound
the
like
wild.
Like a Yeti.
I'm like, oh, yeah. There's a Squatch in these woods.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that's a conversation for another episode, so don't try to sidetrack me.
See, now we know where the sound comes from. It's the damn owls. There's no Bigfoot.
No. Well, Bigfoot could be mirroring those, trying to throw the owls off. I don't know. I don't want to get off in the weeds on Bigfoot.
Okay.
We will have a Bigfoot episode coming up.
Okay, we can do that.
And aliens.
That's sort of a lighter side of...
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff, right.
If you look on Drudge Report, you know, here's the thing. Josh and I were talking about this before the broadcast started. Drudge Report used to be a good conglomerate for conservative. You know, you could kind of go there and see what was happening in the world. And at some point in this last year, I firmly believe he sold off his operation and probably signed a non-disclosure clause and has kind of ghosted. I really believe that was sold off to either hardcore leftist elements here at home or some element of the Chinese government, because now it's like hardcore communist propaganda on the Drudge Report. And so I think it's interesting, if you pull up Drudge today like I did, almost a third, somewhere between a third and half of the stories are talking about, you know, basically how all Trump people are seditionists, how we're all evil and scary, the terrorists
right.
next door. it's just interesting that the language has gone from, you know, the threat of the Middle East and Islam to now all of a sudden it's all those crazy white nationalists. And you say, well, who's a white nationalist? Apparently anybody that wants individual liberty, that believes in the principles of the founding fathers and the Bill of Rights, and that makes you now
right
a enemy of the state.
Well,
so are you going to register Democrat so that you can get off the list?
No.
Because I know people that are going to. No. And I have a few friends that are letting their concealed carry license expire. They think it's going to get that severe that they want to start kind of disappearing now, off of the
Now, I do know grid. I do know people that refuse to get a concealed carry permit
for
that reason. Sure. I mean, they don't want to be probed by the FBI and fingerprinted and whatever.
Sure.
I can't say that I blame them for that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I know people that go as far as, like, let's say you have a Google account.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you visit X number of sites. That's all tracked. Uncle Sam has access to that, or they can subpoena it or whatever. But that same person, under the same username, will have an account where they visit everything that's not.
Okay, so intentionally trying to mislead the AI.
Well,
I'm too lazy for that. I'm just going to be honest.
Essentially engaging in disinformation.
Yes.
And that could be the new future of keeping your own, and you hate to say it because that makes you sound really conspiratorial.
But
keeping
it's not,
your, keeping your individual rights.
Because the thing is, we know that the AI, although it is not, maybe might not be fully autonomous, maybe it is in limited capacity, I don't know. They have a full enough profile of us. You know, you think about everything that you do and interact with, that these systems have access to. The fact that your PlayStation is watching you and listening to you, the fact that your smart devices and TVs and fridge, refrigerator, the fact that your cell phone, you know, we carry around a tracking device 24/7.
Yep.
And so it doesn't take a whole lot of digging to realize, man, they probably know as much about me and my habits, maybe even more so than I'm personally aware of on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. to the point where they can stage, you know, Amazon shipments with a 90% certainty that within X amount of weeks you're going to order this item. I mean, they're pretty dialed in. But to try and overcome that system with disinformation is more work than I'm willing to do. I figure at this point they know who I am. I'm not important enough to be taken out by anybody in a secret alphabet gang. I'm also too far down the rabbit hole to try and change my identity. But that's the whole reason I grew this beard out, so that if push comes to shove, I can get a flat top and cut this bad boy off, and no one on the planet will recognize me except for my wife.
Okay. Anyway, Joe says, I'm not even going to touch that one, bro. Joe says, personally, I'll maintain Republican registration in CCW, so if I disappear, you'll know why.
Yeah, you know, it's weird that, you know, I don't think it's too far-fetched either, because, you know, people that weren't even on the Capitol grounds across the barriers before entering the Capitol, people that were just in the general population of the protest that mm-hmm. were peaceful, have already started to receive backlash, death threats, loss of job. Mm-hmm. You have civil servants that went down and peacefully protested that were never part of any kind of quote-unquote violence or property damage that are now losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, they'll probably file a civil suit and win, I'm hoping. You know, there is a strong backlash, almost like a like you see in communist revolutions, where people are re-educated and pigeonholed and stuck in digital and economic gulags until they are willing to conform. We're living in fascinating times.
My goodness. She has 5 Alexas, and now they're freaking me out. Put those damn things on eBay. Get what you can and run.
5.
Whoa. Oh,
I appreciate you being transparent. And it's funny because I balk at that. But I still have my spy phone that listens 24/7, which is,
right.
You know, so I'm no different. And, you know, it's been proven, you know, article after article. And Samsung even joked about it in their ads. Be careful what you say. Your TV is listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have our stories of how the tech has kind of, You know, I talk about dryer repair because my heating element's out, and then the first ad I see on Facebook is about getting a new heating element for your dryer. And so it's fascinating how I have to turn that off because I'm getting vibrated on my phone there. It's fascinating to me how we are intellectually aware of it. We really are. Mm-hmm. That everything, that anything that can listen that has a microphone is listening.
Yes.
Now, look, none of us, to be honest, in the comments here or Josh and I broadcasting are important enough to really get anybody's focus at this point. But they still have an incredible amount of data on us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Your purchasing patterns. And the one that was most offensive to me, because I've had it where, you know, I had a conversation with a coworker one time about Kiss being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple years back. Mm-hmm. And he was going to go and see him, and he was so geeked to go to New York, and because he's like the world's biggest Kiss fan. And I'm not a concert goer. Right. I've done maybe two concerts in my life other than, you know, like the Cleveland Orchestra or stuff like that. But big, huge rock concerts has never been my thing.
Right.
But immediately after that conversation, the first ad on social media was for Ticketron for rock concerts.
Right.
I'm like, come on, dude. So they were live time listening, sure, and then targeting ads at me. But the most offensive one I've ever seen that really shocked me is one time with some family members, I was driving back to Ohio from the Carolinas, and I wanted to take a detour as we came up 77. I wanted to go to our campground, which is 30 minutes outside of Marietta, and I wanted to pick some stuff up there before we came back home. And so I couldn't tell where we were, how many miles out of Marietta, so I wanted to find out the mileage so I could see how much time until we got to our real destination, which was a small town called Beverly. When I typed in how far to Marietta, the first search result came up the mileage to my real destination. Like, it took the next step past me and said, we know you really don't want to go to Marietta. Where you're really wanting to go is over here.
Because you've been here so many times.
And right. here's how many miles and how much time it's going to take to get here. Because even though you're searching for this, we actually know you want that.
Right.
And I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. It's not only listening, but it's predictive. Like, it's outsmarting me. Like, going, right.
Well, if you have 600 pings from the same cell tower close to that spot, and you're looking for Marietta, they know, okay, that's not, and that's all digital. That's computer algorithm.
Or it could be lifetime listening.
There's 300 and some million Americans. Mm-hmm. I doubt there's enough people to monitor that.
Maybe not monitor. Maybe it's computer programs that are doing listening in live time and looking for keywords. I think that's very possible.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a conglomeration. We have computers that are just goofy fast. Yes. So if it takes Google Maps,
okay,
with this many cell towers and it puts them together, I mean, that's could be instantaneous, and it would have that.
I got what you're saying.
With a pretty high probability.
Sure. It's fascinating stuff.
Yes.
Got anything else you want to talk about? Any predictions for Inauguration Day? I know Capitol buildings are locking down across the country, state to state, because of perceived threats to security. You see any major violence in the next week?
Yes, and it's not going to happen there.
Where's it going to happen?
I have no idea. But looking at things, remember when the thing happened in what was it, Nashville? The explosion?
Oh, yeah, the RV.
Right.
Because the shitter was full.
Right.
Christmas vacation.
So you have something like that, and then a couple weeks later you have something. I'm thinking just outside the box that you're going to see, and it won't be D.C.
Okay.
Maybe California. New York City would probably be a good place for it for something to.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, too, like I've said before, 2 years ago, I would have said any major event most likely would have been maybe, I'm going to say 80% likely that it was a false flag, mm-hmm, to try and strip rights from the citizenry. Now people are pissed off enough that when an event happens, my first thought isn't false flag. My first thought is this could also be organic, and because there's a lot of people that are really, really angry right now.
Yes.
And so, you know, my attitude has been for a long time, you're not going to catch me at these big rallies. Right. The safety risk is too great. And And you might disagree. That's fine. Yeah. But I'm just going to encourage you. You know, look, if you're going to participate in large events like this, make sure that your eyes are up. Make sure that you're filming to capture what's happening, and try to be safe. Because I tell you what, I think we're living in an escalating time of chaos and violence, which is why we did a prepper show. If you didn't catch that last week, you know, we're certainly not prepping experts, but it was kind of a light intro for those of you who've never even entertained the idea of setting some food and some ammo back, medical supplies, stuff like that, what that might look like for you. Revisit last week's show. If you want to know what our thoughts are for the coming year, well, that's what I was saying before I sidetracked myself, is I told my buddy that I think in 2 to 4 years we look like the UK as far as viral lockdowns and restrictions and police coming to your house because you have too many guests from differing households. And in 6 to 8 years, maybe we look like more like communist China than we do 1970s United States. Mm-hmm. And in 15 to 20 years, we could be in rough shape. So, you know, right now the economy is still chugging along and most of us still have our jobs, thankfully. And most of us still have many of our freedoms. Now is the time, you know, look at, I think we all can look at ammo prices and go, damn, why didn't I buy more? You know, no matter how much you have, if you're a gun guy, no matter how much food you have set back, you're like, oh shit, I should have done more.
Right.
I'm telling you, as painful as ammo prices are now, now is the time to double down. It's like the stock market, you know, when things are unraveling, the temptation is to sell because you're bleeding really bad. And some people theorize, look, you should probably double down and buy more because it's going to rebound. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the level of chaos and tyranny that's coming is going to double down. And so now is the time, as painful as ammo prices are, as high as AR-15 prices or any kind of, you know, quote unquote battle rifle. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to get your shit together because I think that it's not going to let up. You know, you and I talked about this morning, is that both parties are crazy. You know, it's like we're stuck in a big travel bus, right? And when Democrats are behind the wheel, for conservatives, it feels like they're driving off the cliff at 100 miles an hour listening to death metal. But then the Republicans take over the wheel and they slow it down to 35 and put on easy listening. Well, look, man, both parties are still driving us over the damn cliff. Right. And so I don't care if it's listening to death metal or if it's listening to Republicans are like, oh, the Republican Party are like, well, hold on. I really like this tune. Let's slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're still going in the same damn direction. We're driving off a cliff. And there's no way you can argue that when we are destroying our own economy over a mild virus, when we are printing dollar bills like there's no tomorrow, when we are losing First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment rights, dude, I'm not saying it's the end, but we're living in some challenging seasons, and I would argue probably the most historic since the Revolution or the Civil War.
I think it's a new viewer, Beth Ann.
Miss Beth.
Up a couple, she said. Slowly boiling the frog.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, I agree with you, Miss Beth, and thanks for joining us this evening, and Miss Joni, too. You know, at some point, we have, I would argue, honestly, probably for the last 50 years, since the 60s, and much of the unrest of the 60s might have been warranted, was certainly warranted, but we kickstarted a social movement that has gone, that's overcorrected, okay? Mm-hmm. Any social movement, whether it's women's rights and feminism, fantastic roots and important. The Black Panthers, fantastic roots and important. Mm-hmm. Occupy Wall Street, okay? They had some good points. Mm-hmm. You know, most of the wealth is held at the top and we're all struggling at the bottom. But then these movements get hijacked. And it's happened to civil rights. It's happened to BLM. It's happened to Occupy. It's happened to the Patriot movement. They get hijacked and then they get steered off into crazy land. And the frog boils slowly for those first, you know, couple years, decades, but now we're living in a time where you're going to see stuff happening at a lot faster clip, man. It's going to be coming where a big event might have been every 2 to 3 years. You know, you'd have a mass shooting sizable enough to direct the national conversation back to gun control, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to see this happening quicker and quicker because the temperature has gone from, you know, slow degrees to, man, we've crossed a precipice here, and right. Things are going to pick up rapidly.
It's been an hour, bro.
All right, we gotta get.
Do we want to do it next week?
Yes, we do. We'll be here. We're going to consistently, if you've been following the page, Josh and I have been kind of throwing articles and memes and political cartoons that kind of speak to what we're thinking on any given day. And occasionally we're going to start uploading live video as events roll out throughout the week too. But for now, we are consistently broadcasting, podcasting Sundays at 6:30. So, you know, feel free to tune in, engage, ask questions, send us emails, call in. We're always willing to entertain a phone call. If you want to be a guest, at some point Josh is going to have to rearrange his chairs and make room for a third person. And we'd love to have you on and send us an email saying what you want to talk about other than Bigfoot and aliens, because
they don't exist.
They do, but we'll lose some of our... Nobody wants to talk about that. Very few. Bigfoot is real, dude. Come on.
Anywho, that is a wrap, my friends. We will be here again next week on Sunday at 6:30 until otherwise notified.
Yeah, so, until they haul us off into a re-education camp.
Maybe we should discuss that next week.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and keep trusting QAnon, because that worked out so well for all of us. Did I end on a controversial note?
Yes. Until next week, stay sharp, keep a tight shot, group, and rock on.
Rock on.